Good morning. We didn't want it. Now you might wonder what it was we didn't want. We didn't want the snow that we got, that's for sure. I'm not a big fan of winter, and I was a little upset when it started snowing, but something else I was thinking of, and I'm thinking of the fact that we didn't want it, could be talking about our son's dog. We didn't want it. He went to see these cute little puppies, and I said, that's fine, you go and look at them, you bring them home, and you're in big trouble. And I told the lady that had them, used to go to our church. I said, don't you send any dogs home with our kids. Well, he moved into an apartment that's not allowed dogs. Guess who's got Chester? We didn't want it. We didn't want the responsibility of running the kitchen at Camp Washbacoon. We didn't want that. We've worked there. We spent, we had our 21st summer there this past year. We just wanted to be in the background and help out here and there, work in the kitchen a bit. I love counseling. Like doing some speaking. Cooking's fun. We enjoy doing that. And years ago, we were pestered a few times. You know, you ever thought about taking over this job? No. You ever thought about ordering the food? No. We didn't want it. Sometimes when I think about the fact, I do the food ordering, and this past summer, I probably spent at least $45,000 on food. $45,000. That's a lot of money. To a guy like me, that's a lot of money. It's a lot of food. And we have to make sure that that food is stored properly, prepared properly, served properly, because we have these guys that show up every once in a while called health inspectors. And they don't like it if things aren't done properly, and we do a pretty good job of it. But then we hear in the news that such and such a place had this E. coli outbreak because they were serving hamburgers that weren't prepared properly, and we think, well, we have hamburgers on our menu, and we hear about this other place that had a problem with something with their food, and we think, we don't want it. I don't want that responsibility. That's such, when we stop and think about it, when we break it down to its basic elements, that's a lot of responsibility. We have upwards of 150 people there at a time, and if we do something wrong, there could be 150 people sick. There could be 150 people in the hospital. That's pretty serious. We're trying to get out of it. We're ready to step away from that role, not because of the responsibility, but because of its demands. But we're ready. We're at that point. How do you treat your responsibilities? If you could turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. I want to read a few verses. Now, some of you, depending on the version of the Bible you're looking at, your wording is going to be quite different, and unless you looked at the original language, you wouldn't realize that it's saying the same thing that my New King James is saying. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 4, starting at verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. In verse 10, Peter says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What's a good steward? Well, first of all, what's a steward? A steward, this word that's used here, as I said, it may be translated different ways in your Bible, but the word that's used there means a manager of a household or an estate. Somebody who is managing a household, not just a house, but a household or an estate. So it's a position of responsibility. You're in charge of looking after a household, making sure that everything in that household is running properly, running smoothly. Bills are being paid and things are being supplied, and all of the things that need to run a household are taken care of. So it's not just looking after the physical part of a house, but it's the whole thing that a house entails, including the family or an estate, looking after something, being a manager of something. Peter says that we are to be as good stewards, good household managers of the manifold grace of God. We are to be ministering or administering the gifts that we have received. Administering them or ministering them to the household as stewards, as managers. Well, I like gifts. Does anybody here like gifts? Tomorrow, a month from tomorrow is what? A month from tomorrow is?
Christmas.
Okay. Christmas is that close. How many of you have done your shopping? How many of you have started? How many of you bought something for me? No. We like gifts, don't we? We like getting gifts. And the Bible talks about gifts. There are a number of different gifts that the Bible talks about. In this context, Peter is talking about the gifts that God has given us. He explains it a little bit on either side here, but he says, if anyone has the gift of speaking, let him do it in a particular way. If anybody has a gift of, my mind's going blank here. Anyhow, he says, if you've got this gift, if God has given you a gift, then use it in the way that God wants it done. Live up to your responsibility. Be a good manager. Be a good steward of the gift that God has given you. Look after it well. Now, that's simple to say, but how do we do that? And I don't want to go into the specifics of what the different gifts are. There are a number of different places in the Bible that refer to the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts that God has given us. And I don't believe any of them give us a full summary of what those gifts are. And I have a chart at home. I have a little pamphlet at home that was designed to help you not so much determine, but reassure yourself of where you're gifted by God. And in that particular little pamphlet, they have more than just the few that we normally see listed. Because when God gives very liberally, doesn't he? And he gives everything that we could possibly need. He gives to the body everything that it could possibly need. And so it's a fairly extensive list of things that God has given us as gifts. We've all received. If we are a Christian, if we have put our faith in Jesus Christ, God has given us at least one gift to minister to the body, at least one gift to serve him. To some, he's given more. And there's quite a variety of gifts, and there's some that you see quite often, and there's some that you never see, and that's God's intent. But he wants them to be administered faithfully as good stewards. I'm going to look at some examples. Jesus talks a little bit about stewards. So if you could turn to Luke chapter 16. And again, depending on your version, you may not have the word steward in here. Luke chapter 16. Jesus tells a little story. We'll read verses 1 to 8. He also said to his disciples, "There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting or squandering his goods. So he called him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward.' And the steward said within himself, 'What shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I'm resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses.' So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'And how much do you owe?' So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light." It's an interesting little parable. There's a little bit of discussion among the scholars as to exactly what Jesus is talking about in this parable and to the things that are going on in it. But right at the beginning, we see that there was someone who was a bad steward. This guy, in verse 1, was wasting or squandering the goods that belonged to his master, the goods that had been entrusted to him. And he was wasting that. So if we were to think about the opposite of it, a bad steward wastes what his master has given him. So a good steward would be diligent with the things that his master has given him, would be very careful with those things, would make sure that they are put to their proper use. Have you put your gift to its proper use? This guy was dishonest, wasn't he? He says to the people, "You know, I got to figure out how I'm going to look after myself." So he says, "If I make everybody really happy with me, they'll look after me." So he says, "Take your bill and change what you owe. And take your bill and change what you owe." Now, some of the scholars think that this could be because he knew that the master was charging way too much. And so he was saying, just owe him what you actually owe. Just cancel out the rest of the interest and everything on it, because I'm the steward. I know what you actually owe, and I know what your master's been charging you, so we'll just justify that. Now, whether that's the case or not, he's still being dishonest, isn't he? He's taking a bill, and he's changing it. Can you imagine how long would your phone company or your hydro company tolerate you taking you get your bill in the mail and you say, "No, I'm paying you $250. Are you serious? Nah, we'll make it $200, okay? We'll be happy." We can't do that. This guy couldn't do that. And he's being dishonest about this. He's being dishonest. Therefore, a good steward would be honest. Honest before God and honest before men. Honest about living up to the responsibility, living up to the gifts and administering those gifts the way that God wanted. How many of you would say that you know what your spiritual giftedness is? Put your hand up if you know what your spiritual giftedness is. I would say that many of you are being dishonest. Because I think that we have a lot better handle on what our spiritual giftedness is than we want to admit. Because if I admit that I have a gift in an area, then what's God going to say? Then use it. Do something about it. I don't want to be up here. I don't want to be up in front of a bunch of people preaching. And I could say, "No, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. I think it's helping in the kitchen at ABK, and that's all it is. Nothing else is involved in it. That would be dishonest. If God says, Dave Lawrence, I have given you a particular gift, you are to be up front and preaching my word to people, and I know that inside me, and I say, I don't know what my gift is, and I don't know how I can use it, that I'm being dishonest. I'm not being a good steward. I mentioned this little pamphlet. I found it interesting in going through this myself and in going through it with other people. When they came to the end of it, and you mark off these things and you run this total and you come and you look and you see where you scored, and it tells you what your gift is or what your area of gift is. And in the end, it was like, oh yeah, I knew that. I knew that. Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess that's right. I guess that's accurate. Why? Because basically we know what God has gifted us in. We know where he wants us to be serving. We just don't want to live up to that responsibility. We're afraid. We're afraid of what's involved. Does that affect the rest of the body? Does it affect a group of people if I'm not living up to my responsibility? I do stupid things once in a while. And it affects my whole body. I play volleyball. I went up to block. We were just fooling around between games. And I went up to block, and one of my sons, his foot came under the net. I landed all my weight on my left foot on his foot. Cranked my ankle pretty good. It affects my whole body. You wouldn't think it would make that big of a difference. One part of my body, this little thing down here, you know where the bone is that sticks out in the side? That's kind of the area that's hurting. That was a month ago when it's still bothering me, so I'm pretty sure it's cracked, but you wouldn't think that it would affect the rest of my body. But I have found in trying to even just walk, it makes me walk differently. And I'm walking along, and all of a sudden it feels like somebody is taking a knife and driving it into my right ankle, my good ankle, because my bad ankle is making me walk differently. It's not doing what it's supposed to be doing, and it's putting some weird pressure on the other side of my body, and it affects me. And if you are not living up to your responsibility, if you are not being a good steward of the gift that God has given you, it is going to affect the body in some way. The body is going to be lacking. The body is going to be hurting. The body is going to be crying out, I need some help. Most churches, and I would assume that Bethel is no different than other churches, in most churches you have a certain percent that do a huge, excuse me, a huge percent of the work. Our little church, we would have, I would say, it would be pushing it to say that we would have 10 out of 50 or 60 people that do the majority of the work. Now, I don't know what your numbers are here, but I would imagine that whatever percent that would work out to be, that's probably fairly accurate. Why is that? Because sometimes we're not honest. We're not a good steward. We're not being honest about what God has given us. And we're taking what God has given us and we're saying, no, we're going to change that. I don't have that gift. I don't have that. God hasn't given me that. I don't want to be one of those kind of people that have to do this or have to go there or have to say that or have to help out in this area. Luke chapter 12. I want to read a few verses there. I've been trying to stay off my ankle as much as possible. It's so hard. I play volleyball Sunday nights normally, and I wanted to go so badly last Sunday. Oh, and I kept looking at the time and thinking, oh, if I leave right now, I can still make it. And I said, no, I can't do it. When you get old, I said, my brain, I might have said this here before, my brain, my body's trying to, my brain's trying to keep up with my body or to catch up with my body or to convince my body that the two are the same age and that we should be working together. Luke chapter 12, verses 41 and 41 to 44. Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all the people? It's talking about watching. Verse 42, the Lord said, who then is a faithful and wise steward, whom his master will make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Jesus talks about a good steward, a faithful person, a wise person. It's interesting that he says a steward, and then he says in verse 43, blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. And he continues to talk in the next few verses about a servant. Now, I thought when I was looking at being a steward, at least it's a little bit higher than everybody else. I've got a position of responsibility. Yeah, I'm somebody. I'm important. Now, don't you know, I'm Dave Lawrence. I'm the, what's the quote? The one and only Dave Lawrence. It was funny. Because my son, who is Dave Lawrence, was standing beside me. And somebody said, are you the one and only Dave Lawrence? Nope. I'm actually in the middle of three. But yeah, I'm a steward. I'm a household manager. I'm somebody important. That sounds good, doesn't it? And then Jesus said, in the next verse, he says, blessed is that servant. Blessed is that servant. A steward is a servant. A steward isn't like a person that's running things, like the boss. A steward is a servant. Just somebody who serves. Somebody who's been given maybe a little more responsibility, but they're still somebody who serves. And in this passage, Jesus says, blessed is that, he talks about being a faithful and wise servant whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season. So he's talking about distributing their food, making sure that everybody's fed, making sure that everybody's taken care of. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Faithful and wise servant. Distributing their food. Well, many of us have a responsibility to share God's food, don't we? We have a responsibility to share God's food, to make sure that Christian people are being fed from God's word. And we can do that from here on a Sunday morning. We can do it at Bible studies. We can do it in our homes with our own families. We can do it with other people. We can do it in very, very simple ways. God wants us to be wise and faithful and live up to our responsibilities. A good steward will live up to their responsibility. So if we tie this back in with 1 Peter, a good steward will be faithful, will be wise, and will be responsible as they administer the gift that they have been given to others in the church. Verse 45 of Luke chapter 12. But if that servant says in his heart, my master delays his coming and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour when he is not aware and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Bad steward says, the boss can't see what I'm doing. The boss isn't here. The boss said he'd be back, but he's not back yet. A bad steward gets careless or deliberately chooses to disobey the boss, to do their own thing. We often see, especially in a new Christian, they're excited about God, excited about serving, and they want to do this, and they want to do that, and they want to learn, and they want to grow. They want to serve, and they want to be able to do all of these things. And they're told that Jesus is going to come back. And they're, yeah, that's exciting. I can remember as a little boy hearing that Jesus was going to come back. And I can remember praying some things about his return. I wanted him to come back before anybody in my family died. I knew that he was coming back. I believed he was coming back. And I thought, you know, there's things that I don't want to have to go to a family funeral. So, you know, Lord, can you please come back before that happens? He hasn't returned yet. Been to a number of family funerals. And he hasn't come back yet. Well, if he hasn't come back yet, probably not going to come back today, is he? So I can do what I want today. I can say what I want. I can think what I want. I can go where I want. I can do what I want. Because he hasn't come back yet. So he's not going to catch me doing anything wrong. Jesus is coming back. We have a little sign. I don't remember who it was. One of our kids, one of our older two, I guess. It says, Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready? And they stuck it on the basement door. I have no idea why. An odd place to stick a sign like that, right? It's supposed to be on a bumper or something so that the whole world can see, Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready? But it's a constant reminder to me. Every time I'm down in the basement, every time I go past that door, I see that sign. Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready? If I am not faithfully administering the gift that God has given me, no, I am not ready. I spent a summer working out in Batchewana Bay. We get together once in a while with our family, and we talk about this particular job. It was one of those summer-funded jobs, and from our perspective, we dropped the D. It was a summer fun job. We just had a blast all summer long. Once in a while, when we were sleeping in the fire truck, one of the supervisors would come along, and there'd be a mad scramble. Or once in a while, when we were sitting around the table and we got tired of throwing stones in an old wood stove that had three different sizes of holes, and each hole was worth a different point. And we had just finished a real rip-snorter of a game of hangman, and we were just kind of sitting back lounging, and we hear some noise outside, and one of the supervisors came along, and we have to jump up and scurry around and try to make it look like we were doing something. And I'm afraid that when Jesus comes back, there's going to be a whole bunch of us Christians saying, not now, not today. I just turned my head for a second. I just got distracted by this for a minute. In this story that Jesus tells, this person, this servant, this steward says, oh, you know, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to do my own thing. And Jesus says, you watch out. Because I know what's going on. I'm watching. And I want you to be a faithful, I want you to be a good steward for me. So a good steward is watching, is ready, is living up to their responsibility at any moment. Verse 47. That servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself to do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. The one thing that stood out in my mind here is in verse 47, and did not prepare himself. Knew what the master wanted. Knew what the particular gift was that they had, and they did not prepare themselves to be serving, to be faithfully serving the master, administering the gift that they had, and not prepared to meet him. But I think a big part of this is being prepared to serve, being ready to serve. I don't know if you ever invite somebody to your house. Most of the time when you do that, there's a couple things that you want done. Number one, the house needs to be clean, doesn't it? You want your house clean. You're inviting somebody over. You scurry around and you've got to vacuum and you've got to dust and you've got to sweep and you've got to put the dirty dishes away. That's the one thing where dishwashers are a good thing, right? Just load them in the dishwasher and your house looks spotless. And if you're inviting somebody over for a meal, you want the meal ready, don't you? You want everything to be ready, everything prepared, everything. You know, it's just so good. But that's how God wants us to be. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to be prepared to serve him. And if we are called to do something, he doesn't want us to have to be scurrying around trying to figure out what it is that we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it. We're supposed to be ready for that. We're supposed to be prepared for that. A good steward is prepared. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2 talk about stewardship. And again, it talks about being faithful. Talks about being faithful. Are you a good steward? Are you a good steward of what God has given you, of the giftedness that God has given you? Or if you are, you are prepared to serve. You live up to your responsibility. You're honest about what your responsibility is. Not because I have to say this, I'm already over time, so I may as well say it, right? Sometimes being honest is saying, no, I am not gifted in that area. I heard a guy get up and sing one time. Wasn't here. I get up and sing once in a while down at Massey, and I think, what am I doing up here? Then I think about this other guy, and no. Being a good steward, being honest, is not just saying this is my area of giftedness. It's also saying this is not my area. And I've heard people who are trying to do things, and it is not their area of giftedness. There are people who get up on Sunday mornings and try to preach, and they should not be up there because God has not given them that gift. And they're not honest enough about it to say, no, I am not a preacher. I am not a speaker. I should be doing something else. This is what my gift is. This is where I should be serving. Seen people trying to teach Sunday school who have no business trying to teach Sunday school because that's not where God wants them serving. And that's part of being honest. If you're a good steward, you're going to be honest. You're going to be wise. You're going to be making wise decisions and wisely administering that gift. And you're going to be faithful to the master, faithful to the end. A good steward serves his master by ministering to others. Are you a good steward of the gift that God has given you? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that we can spend together, and I thank you for your word and for the way that your word challenges us and encourages us. I know that the area of giftedness is one that we often struggle with, and yet you've given us your spirit, you've given us your word, you've given us the influence of others, and I think really we do know what our area of giftedness is. And so I pray that as we recognize this, that we will want to live up to the responsibility that you've given us, that we would be good stewards for you, that when you return, we would be found faithfully serving you as we serve others. Pray that you would bless us as we leave here now. In Jesus' name, amen.